Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the New Mainstream podcast, where we explore the impact of multicultural consumers on marketing and media. I'm your host, Mario Carrasco, and co-founder of Think Now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the New Mainstream podcast. Today is our guest is Francisco Javier Arceo, founder and CEO of Unidos. Francisco, great to have you on the New Mainstream podcast. Please introduce yourselves, and let us know a little bit about your startup, Unidos.
Hey, Mario. Well, thank you for having me on. As you said, my name is Francisco Javier. I'm from the South Side of Chicago. I grew up, with both my parents from Mexico, Durango and Jalisco. And, I went through my own journey with personal finance, and it was a struggle for me for a long time. And then, I was lucky enough to spend about, 8 or 9 years working in the financial services industry and technology industry, focus on launching and scaling digital banks at places like the Commonwealth Bank of Australia, Time Global, AIG, and most recently Goldman Sachs. And so one of the things that I was particularly attuned to was, some of the unique challenges that we, the Latino community, face with personal finance. And so I thought that I could provide support to them, right? And so about a year ago, I left my job at Goldman to build Unidos, which is a financial wellness company. And we think about that through a variety of different angles, but I can go more into that a little bit later.
Yeah. So I think for you and I think it's second nature, being business owners. I mean, I'm in the research space. We've done work for financial institutions, like Wells Fargo, Union Bank, digging into what the specific issues with finance that Latinos face. But I think a lot of our listeners maybe don't have kind of specifics on some of those issues. Can you expound on, what are some of the issues that Latinos in the U.S. face when it comes to personal finance, banking?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So I think if you think about the state of Latinos in the U.S. and where they're coming from, where they are, some of the core demographic pieces of data about them, whether that's socioeconomic or family, it helps paint a more accurate picture, right? So if you think about Latinos, on average, they're younger, they have less income and assets than their non-Hispanic counterparts. On average, they do have lower educational outcomes than some of the other demographics. And a big reason for that is, the proximity to Latin America, right? So, folks are coming, from their country origin, to get the American dream. And it's an incredible thing. My parents came here, like I said, from Mexico. My father and mother, my mother graduated high school. My father dropped out of high school and then went on to do his GED. And so that's at the individual case, but that ladders up on average to having lower educational outcomes. And that's okay. What that means is that some of the tools and that are available to different people in the community might not be a good fit for them, right? Because they might not have the same context in understanding, all about their personal finances. And so what that means to me is that people need a little bit more support, a little bit more information that's maybe more accessible, right? Because I think providing accessible information means two main things. Simple and actionable, right? And the simple is an interesting problem because most of the content and information that's provided to folks in the U.S. is in, you know, English, which is great. You know, I think that's a big chunk of the most common language spoken here in the U.S. But that means that folks that don't speak English that well, you know, folks coming from Latin America, might not be able to understand, you know, that information. And then that layers in the other component of it, right? Where it's like, okay, it's not in Spanish or another language, and it's tailored to a higher educated audience, which means like, okay, well, so you have to have two problems to solve here. One, the language barrier, and two, catering to an audience that needs a little bit more, you know, accessible language.
Yeah. One of the reasons I invited you on is that, you know, we, you and I know, and many of our listeners know, the growth opportunity for Latinos in the U.S. And for the most part, a lot of the startups, media companies, interestingly, there's not a lot in finance, so you're in a good space, but a lot of the startups focused on the U.S. Latino usually focus on the bilingual, bicultural, English-dominant Latinos. You bring up that language barrier. There's still a huge number of Spanish speakers in the U.S. As someone that came from finance, right? You know, focused in, I mean, doing all of your work in English. I mean, what led you to focus on Spanish dominant Latinos? I mean, what, you know, tell us a little bit about that, because it's, I feel like it goes against the grain in a good way.
Yeah. So I think, you know, one, there's a lot of, information available in English, right? A lot of really high quality. And so I thought that that needs already met, where I felt there was not a need, or where there was not, as much service met was for folks speaking Spanish. Right. And I thought that they deserved the same, level of quality and technology support, as the English speaking. And so, you know, there are a lot of Latinos speaking Spanish. I know that my parents, predominantly read in Spanish. Right. And so my goal with my company at its core was to really solve problems for my family. You know, and I know my mother doesn't speak, English as well as her Spanish. And, you know, in order to support her and support other people like her, because she's not alone, someone needs to provide that level of care and quality.
And do you know offhand some of the numbers in terms of Spanish dominant Hispanics in the U.S. or percentage wise?
Off the top of my head, I do not. I know it's substantial, but
I think it's about 30%. And if you include bilingual, bicultural, it's almost 50%, which is, you know, taking into account the number of Latinos in the U.S., that's a huge market. And to your point, that's underserved. Right. You know, the other side of the coin, you spoke about accessible from a language perspective. But then you also were talking about, you know, the complexity of the products out there right now. For personal finance. And we talked about this last week. Explain to us your approach to the simplicity or ease of use. I mean, I think that's a really interesting differentiating factor between other personal finance tools out there, such as Mint.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, what I'll say is, you know, I spent most of my career as a quant or a data scientist, you know, focused on underwriting and pricing. And so I know the math and the way that these products are structured intimately, right? And what I'll say, at its core of all these different financial products, whether it be a credit card, a mortgage, an auto loan, a personal loan, a payday loan, it's all very, very similar in structure. But I think that oftentimes institutions obfuscate the products with jargon, because then it's less transparent to the user. And I don't mean that in a cynical way, because I think that oftentimes they're trying to be transparent, but they're so focused on the nuances of each individual product that they forget the core messaging. And I think that the government has helped support that with some restrictions and regulations about disclosing certain things to consumers, right? Like an APR, right? Folks usually have to now show an APR. So whatever they're charging, and including fees, they have to disclose that, right? Which is a good thing. I think the next step above that is making it so easy that everybody can understand it, right? Finance, at the end of the day, should not be hard to understand. I think it's been made difficult to understand. But my goal with Unidos is to present that information in very, very easy and digestible way, right? And that speaks to our content, that speaks to the technology that we're going to build, and really focusing on making it this incredible user experience. I think, you know, I joke, but usually I give the example of Amazon. Amazon has done such a great job in removing the friction at getting you to purchase something. I want to remove the friction to enable you to understand finances and to allocate your dollars, you know, wherever you so please.
That's right. Let's talk a little bit more of the product. I mean, tell us more about Unidos. I mean, we've been talking about, you know, what the problem is in terms of Latinos finances in the U.S. I mean, how are you solving that problem?
Right. So we're still in early stages in build mode, right? But we essentially plan to launch a suite of products, the first being a personal financial management tool, which is essentially, you know, what some would call a mint-like product. We're differentiating a couple different ways. One, by, you know, focus on a Spanish-first platform, but everything's available in both languages. And so to your point before, we are meeting folks that, you know, that 30% of Spanish dominant, that 50% of bilingual, but then also fully in English, right? And so that's, you know, kind of one core offering besides being a personal financial management tool. A second is we're going to actually have visibility for you to manage your household finances, right? So I know that I have to take care of the finances for my parents, and then my parents have to take care of their finances for my abuelos, right? And you know, there are concerns I often have about fraud, about budgeting, managing debt, making sure that other folks aren't taking advantage of my parents. And so we're building so that, you know, you're able to manage your financial household, whether that be with your spouse, your partner, your parents, your grandparents, so that you can have full visibility into all those financials. Because I see finance is a deeply familial concept, right? Where money is a means to protecting the things that matter most, which is your family. And so the products we offer directly embed that into their technology.
And so that's pretty amazing, the community aspect, because we just finished up some research with an agency called Ninth Wonder. And one of their principals there, Maria Tuena, had this concept of the bi-directional toggle. I was forgetting the name of the word, bi-directional toggle. And it reminds me of this. And so what the concept is that Maria has, you know, spent her career focused on second-generation Latinos, like you and I, right? Our parents are immigrants. And what she's come up against again and again is companies telling her, hey, you know, we've spent money marketing in Spanish, but we don't see the ROI online.
Right.
And she had this hypothesis that when companies spend in Spanish, they are reaching the first generation Latino, like our parents, but then they're asking us to make the purchase on their behalf, right? Yeah. And so, she had this here. I think she was actually working with like a flower company, like 1-800-Flowers or something like that. And they were spending a lot on Spanish media. And during that time, they saw an increase in sales and that spend, but on the English language site. And so she was like, wait a minute, we're seeing an uptick, but it's not on the Spanish side. And so her idea was that, to your point about finances, right? Because purchases are part of finance expenses. The first generation parents, grandparents were asking second gen kids, you know, grandkids, hey, I saw these flowers. Can you buy them for me? But we're making the purchase in English. We're not going on the Spanish site. Right. And so she's had this hypothesis for a while, and we just conducted this research in March where we went and asked first, second gen, and we did in fact find that it was true. It was really cool to quantify that, that there's a large percentage of Spanish-speaking Latinos in the U.S. that are asking kids, grandkids, even friends of the family, extended family, to make purchases for things that they see in Spanish, advertising they see in Spanish, but may not have the know-how how to purchase things online, or not comfortable. Maybe they don't even have a credit card necessarily. So they're asking other family members, younger family members that are comfortable in English, comfortable buying things online, to make these purchases. So your product reminded me of that. I think that community aspect is so important to Latinos in general. And the fact that you're building a product that takes into account is pretty amazing.
No, thank you. And I really appreciate that. And I think that I think about it as in terms of dominant network effects, right? In the same way where years ago, my mom would never have asked me about using Facebook. But over time, as these things started to be interesting to them, my mom then handed me a phone and said, "Mijo, help me set up an account on Facebook so I can see your stuff," right? In the same way.
Yeah, that's the same concept, right? You exactly. And you set up her Facebook, right?
That's exactly right. And so we wanted to build to support the grandparents, the parents, and the kids in all directions in which folks might be trying to work with it, right? And so that we could help them throughout their financial journey and their technology journey as well.
Yeah, that's really great. And it also reminds me, kind of earlier in your conversation, you mentioned the American dream. And we do some research on that. I mean, and you see it hasn't dominated headlines as of late. But, you know, maybe 3 to 5 years ago, you started to see headlines about the death of the American dream. And we researched that. We looked into, okay, what are some of the traditional markers of the American dream, right? It's purchasing a home, getting a college degree, having kids. And we found that for non-Hispanic whites, the want or the desire to attain those traditional markers of the American dream are actually waning. And you see that, right? You see that home buying, another traditional marker is purchasing a car. Right. All these things are on the decline, right? And you have the experience economy. You know, you have the fruition of a lot of things in the sharing economy that are essentially substitutes for these traditional markers of the American dream. And those markers are on the decline for non-Hispanic whites. However, when you look at Hispanics, even millennial Hispanics, it is not waning. It's actually pretty strong. You see Latinos are much more likely than their non-Hispanic white counterparts, specifically millennials, to want a house, a car, a college degree. And I think that's another interesting aspect about your tool, right? How can you help a group of people who are still trying to reach that American dream, even though maybe in culture at large, it's not necessarily a goal for everybody?
Right. I mean, that's a great call out, Mario, because I think it's it's important to that, like, on average, two doesn't necessarily mean that true for any individual or maybe even true for any subsegment, right? Where the Latino community, because they're new emerging into the United States, these things are novel. You know, these things are scream opportunity to us. And so we want them because we aspire to have them, because we haven't. And I personally, you know, my father spoke of the American dream very, very often during my younger years. And it's a blessing that we were able to live it, right? And so I think there's great things in that, and we hope to support people along that journey.
Yeah, and also I think about that, or I've thought about it a lot when we did that research, because I would get the question, oh, why is it waning? Why is it waning among non-Hispanic whites, and why is it, you know, staying pretty steady among Latinos? And I thought about it, and this may be controversial, but I mean, my opinion is that, you know, it's a luxury to not want those things.
Yes.
It's a luxury. It's a generational luxury, right? I think, you know, when you look at the groups that it's waning, they've had generation after generation of owning homes and cars and parent, like for us, it's a pretty new thing.
Right.
You know, it's a pretty new thing in this country, at least. And so I think that's, you know, one of the reasons that, you know, we still strive for those traditional markers is that we don't have, you know, multiple generations that we can point to that have owned those things.
I mean, that's exactly right. And kind of going back to the, I guess, some of the data points I mentioned at the start, right? We're at maybe a little bit of a different point in our experience as a culture in this country. And, you know, it's a blessing, just like you said, for those folks that they can maybe choose not to have that as something to aspire to. We still have to attain it. And I think we will, right? I think that the Latino community is a powerful force. And I hope to support them, you know, as long as I can.
Definitely. Definitely. I think on that note, I mean, we kind of came full circle. We're actually hitting up on our time here. So thanks again for joining us, Francisco. If people want to learn more about your startup, Unidos, yourself, how can they reach you online?
They can reach us on social media, Unidos Fin, or UnidosFin.com. And, you know, all of our information, our waitlist is there. You know, we're heads down building, but building for the future to provide support to folks, you know. And so we're grateful that you know, for the time, for people's interest. And thank you, Mario, for having me.
Thanks again. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to everyone listening in. To get more multicultural insights, check us out at thinknow.com and follow us on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform. Final thank you to our producer, Lucas Martinez, who created our intro music and makes our podcast sound great. To email him, reach out to martinez.lucas.a@gmail.com.